Well, happy Sabbath. It's unseasonably warm, but I guess we'll take it. I kind of like the fall weather, though. I'm looking forward to cooler temps. So, I wanted to start out this afternoon with a verse, a probably very commonly known, well-known verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. This is one of the most quoted and shared Bible verses. It covers a lot in just one verse, and it can easily be glossed over. A few months ago in Eau Claire, Tony Stith presented a message titled Sifted for Service, emphasizing the need for love and unity within the church, especially in times of tribulation. In my notes, I wrote, what does it look like to lay down our lives? John 3:16 shows us what God did for us. God loved the world so much that he sent his Son to die for us. That's a lot of love. To sacrifice his Son and provide a path for salvation and everlasting life for all of us. So, what should our response be to this good news of Christ's sacrifice? Christ died for us and we believe in him and have everlasting life. Is that it? How do we love as he loved? What is our call to action? Galatians 5:22 and 23 tells us about the fruit of the Spirit. Right, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'll just mention that Gary Petty gave a fruit of the Spirit sermon in 2017. You can find that on the website, the UCG website. He goes in depth in each of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. Highly recommended. So the fruit of the Spirit is the result of the Holy Spirit's presence in the life of a Christian. And love is one of those characteristics. It's the Spirit's job to conform us to the image of Christ, making us more Christ-like. Our sinful flesh produces certain types of fruit that reflect our nature, and the Holy Spirit produces types of fruit that reflect his nature. We will never be completely victorious in always demonstrating the good fruit. But it's one of the main purposes of our Christian life. Right, is to progressively allow that Holy Spirit to produce more and more fruit in our lives. And again, one of those fruit is love. The title of my message today is Love with Your Life. Love with Your Life. As we just read in John 3:16, God so loved the world, right, that he gave his only begotten Son. Have you considered 1 John 3:16? The same chapter and verse, but a different book. Let's turn to 1 John 3:16. We're going to read 1 John 3:16 through 18. We're going to read about what our call to action should be, what our response should be to Christ laying down his life for us. 1 John 3:16 through 18. We'll start with 1 John 3:16. By this we know love. Because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Let's just pause here on 1 John 3:16. If necessary, are we willing to lay down our lives for each other in this room? Take a look around. What about church members across our state, our country, around the world? You know, consider the news from our brethren in Pakistan just a few months ago. Kashif and Miriam Mushtaq, right, and the 24 prospective members who meet with them on the Sabbath. I know Mr. Shah forwarded an email back in June about them. I just wanted to read a portion from that email update from this last June. This is a quote from that email update from June. Very early Sunday morning, the local police descended upon their neighborhood and arrested two young Christian men for the crime of speaking blasphemy against the Quran, the holy book of Islam. An incident like this often leads to an announcement about the blasphemy accusation from the mosque on a loudspeaker, causing a mob to assemble and come to the area to do both physical harm and property harm. Mobs have been known to come with acid to throw on Christians who remain. Typically, Christians don't fight back or confront the mob. The police's advice is for all Christian families to leave the village now as they cannot guarantee their safety. Kashif said that this is the first time it's happened in their Christian neighborhood. He is now left and is staying at his elder brother's home with four families in one home, 10 adults and 9 children, in a home with only 2 rooms. Kashif writes, "There is much uncertainty. We don't know where to go. We don't know when conditions will get better. We may move to another city. Almost all the Christian families have left their homes now, and police are no longer providing security. We don't know what's going to happen, but we are praying. Thankfully, I understand that they settled the matter, and they were all able to safely return to their homes." I haven't seen any updates since then, at least. I believe they were able to return. But, you know, do we think about how blessed we are to be in this country, to be able to assemble here today, and to freely worship God? So let's continue in 1 John 3:17 and 18. Well, before we do that, I wanted to make just a comment. Looking at Barnes' notes on the Bible in this passage, right, John 3:16 through 18, Barnes' notes on the Bible states about this passage that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren for the good of our fellow Christian if it be necessary, right? 1 John 3:16 we just read. Stating from this commentary, we're not to throw away our lives. We're not to expose them in a rash, reckless, imprudent manner. But when we're placed in a situation where it's exposed to danger, we are not to shirk away from the duty or to run away from it. We ought to have such love for our fellow Christians as to be willing to jeopardize our lives to aid each other. We ought to have such love for the truth as to be willing to sacrifice our lives rather than to deny it. End quote. So we have it pretty good here in America still, don't we? We have the freedom to assemble, to not be openly persecuted for our beliefs. How long will that continue? How many Christians today are being openly persecuted like our brethren in Pakistan, Iraq, Iran, North Korea, China? We can go on and on. As our country becomes more and more secular and lawless, people become less tolerant of God's law and biblical principles. We should consider Christ's sacrifice for us, and in like manner, we ought to be ready to risk our lives and even to lay them down if in that way we might promote the cause of truth and serve our Christian brethren. We are not to shirk away from this duty or run away from it, and it's a tall order, but something we should all soberly consider. So now let's go back to 1 John 3:17 and 18. 1 John 3:17. Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Love in deed and truth. What does that mean? Well, deed indicates action. We can understand the idea of loving ourselves or loving others as ourselves, yet remain ignorant of how the Bible defines love. As a result, we might not put into practice the biblical principle that determines the success or the failure of our relationships based on love. Love is an action, not just a feeling. Let's continue reading in 1 John 3, verses 22 and 23. 1 John 3, 22 and 23. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. So we just read, because we keep his commandments, right? When we look closely at the Ten Commandments, we see that the first four of those Ten Commandments define how to relate to God, how to show proper love and respect for him, right? You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath. The third commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And the fourth, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. These first four commandments show us how to relate to God and how to show him proper love and respect. And then the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, is a bridge commandment, right? Expanding out our relationship with God to our relationship with each other. Then those final five commandments show us how to relate to each other. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And you shall not covet. The Ten Commandments, they're not regulations or rituals. Those who cast them in this light misunderstands God's intent and purpose in giving us his law. God plainly tells us that all his commandments are for our good and they have a purpose. They're to be a blessing and a benefit to humankind. And they define and help to define our relationships, both with God and with each other. And those relationships should produce respect, cooperation, stability within any society that fully understands and applies these laws. Let's read a couple of verses in 1 John chapter 4. Turn over just a chapter to 1 John 4. We'll read verses 20 and 21. So 1 John 4, verses 20 and 21. The heading in my Bible says obedience by faith. 1 John 4, verses 20 and 21. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must also love his brother. Let's consider another example or a story about showing love. This is a story I found that was written by David C. McCasland. A young woman backpacking in Colorado encountered another woman hobbling down the mountain on a trail. On one foot, she wore an improvised shoe made of green twigs wrapped with a strip of cloth. I lost a boot crossing a stream, she explained. Hope I can get down the mountain before dark. The first hiker reached into her own pack and took out a sports sandal. Wear this, she said. You can mail it to me when you get home. The woman gratefully accepted the sandal and set off down the trail. A few days later, the sandal arrived in the mail with a note saying, I passed several people who noticed my predicament, but you're the only one who offered any help. It made all the difference. Thanks for sharing your sandal with me. The Bible says love can be seen and touched. It's tangible. It might be as big as the Good Samaritan's care for an injured man, right, in Luke 10, verses 30 through 37. Or it could be as small as a cup of cold water given in Jesus' name, like we can read in Mark 10, verse 42. Real love involves action, right? That's what it boils down to. The Bible says, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We just read that in 1 John 3:18. On the trail of life today, when we meet a hobbler, let's offer a sandal in love. That's the end of that story, that quote that I found. So do we demonstrate love to others and not just talk about it? Are we impartial, or do we sometimes ignore those in need when we can help? We can still freely meet in America on the Sabbath to worship God, but will this freedom last forever? As our country continues its moral decline and becomes more secular and lawless, people become less tolerant of God's law and biblical principles. Christian persecution might follow here, as it has in other countries, today and in the past. Do we love each other? Do we love our brethren so much that we're willing to lay down our lives if necessary? I'd like to close by reading this passage in 1 John chapter 3 once again and just reviewing what we covered. The next time you see or hear John 3:16, I hope it brings to mind this passage in 1 John, which shows us what our call to action should be, how we should love each other as he has loved us. So 1 John 3:14 through 18. 1 John 3:14 through 18. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. This is our call to action, to love in deed and to love in truth. Laying down our lives for others usually does not mean dying. It could, right? But often it costs as little more than stopping what we're doing, picking up our heads, looking around, being present, and acting when prompted by the Holy Spirit. Like giving a spare sandal to a hiker in need, giving a cold glass of water to somebody. Don't miss those small opportunities to love by waiting for the big ones. Love is an action, not just a feeling. Love with your deeds. Love with your life.